now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, technology, what is it all about?
The only thing self-driving car needs is engineers to solve these problems. It doesn't need governments, except really to stay out of the way. And, you know, one of the leading causes of death of your constituents will go away.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Danny in the Valley. I'm back from London, and I am struggling, people, with jet lag. But I persevere. I'm doing it for you. And I'm actually coming to you live from the Danny in the Valley mobile headquarters, also known as my Honda, the baby seat in the back. Driving across town to meet with this week's guest, George Hotz. Hotz is the 27-year-old founder of a company called Comma.ai. And Comma is a self-driving car company, but taking a very different approach. They're not trying to build a car or anything like that. They're coming up with a whole kind of package of hardware and software that you could plug into most modernish cars, in theory, and turn it into a self-driving car, at least give it some autonomous capabilities. It's a big problem he's bitten off, but he's got backing from Andreessen Horowitz. He's gotten to a bit of bother with the authorities out here, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, I think that's what it's called. Demanded a bunch of safety information last year that he would not or could not provide, so he was forced to change tack, but he's still at it. And I actually met Hotz about 6 months ago when I was working on a story on self-driving cars, and he is the kind of quintessential Silicon Valley guy who believes that coding can kind of answer many, if not all, of our modern problems. So he's a bit of a kind of a tech anarchist. So it'll be an interesting conversation, I'm sure. In any event, assuming that Google Maps does not steer me astray, I will be at his house shortly, which is also Comma's headquarters, and I will come to you live from his living room, which is full of computers and other stuff. Back to you shortly. George here?
Oh, yeah. George. Yes.
How's it going?
See you guys.
Our slogan is ghost riding for the masses, so it means something like that. We want to win self-driving cars.
How do you do that?
You ship self-driving cars, a lot of them. You have the biggest network and make it work the best.
But you don't obviously make self-driving cars.
That's not the hard part. That's not the money part. Don't make the car. I mean, Tesla's trying to make electric cars, right? That's just what they do. I think electric cars are all right. They suffer from this infrastructure bootstrapping problem. But yeah, certainly don't try to like make a car. Just take the cars that already exist and make them drive themselves, right? Think about it like, imagine there already really were good phones out there with like, you know, good processors and good screens and stuff, but they all ran Symbian OS and BlackBerry OS. Well, what if you could just reflash them and put a better operating system on them?
That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
In terms of the cars that are out there on the road right now, they have to be a certain vintage in terms of the year that to be able to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you need some very basic stuff. You need electronic power steering and like traction control system. As long as your cars have those two things, which is almost all cars sold in the last 4 or 5 years, it's technically capable of being made drive by wire. All cars have pretty much been gassed by wire for over 10 years.
How far along are you to making that happen? Like, what are you guys up to these days?
Have you seen our video? So this is all with the stuff that's released in open source.
Right.
All the hardware additions you see to this car are available at shop.com.ai. I don't know. Do you call that a self-driving car? I'm not big on semantics.
In terms of its capabilities, that's a 2016 Honda something.
2016 Honda Civic, yeah.
What can that do?
Exactly
in terms of levels of autonomy?
The only difference between the levels is who takes liability. That's a meaningless distinction.
What do you mean?
The only difference between level 2, 3, and 4 is who takes liability. Level 2 means the driver is always liable. Level 3 means the driver is sometimes liable. And level 4 means the driver is never liable.
Right.
And level 5 means the driver is never liable on any road.
Because in theory, level 5 of autonomy means you basically don't have a steering wheel.
But that doesn't matter. The only distinction is the liability. It's not a technical distinction, right? It's put out by a government agency who's concerned with liability. Not with you know, what can the car actually do? Well, right. Miles between disengagement is a much better metric there.
Right. And how are you doing on that?
Okay. We're about probably a bit over 10 miles between disengagements.
And how does that compare to Waymo, Google?
Well, it's a lot worse than Waymo. It's competitive with Tesla, and it's beating every other car manufacturer. Waymo hasn't actually shipped anything. Waymo moved the driver 4 feet from the driver's seat to the back seat. Basically. You know, there's still a Waymo employee in all the cars.
Yeah.
It's an impressive technical achievement, but it's questionable how shippable it is, right? When I can hail a Waymo car and get a ride anywhere, like, fine, you know, start in Scottsdale, it's easier, it's great, but, or where to Chandler, wherever they are, but, you know, it's not even open to people yet. Well, why not? Where are the videos on YouTube of people riding the Waymo car? Well, no, there's just a carefully produced Waymo video, right? That's like the, you know, cigarette company's PR department telling you, don't worry, we did research, cigarettes are okay for you, right? It's the same thing. You gotta actually ask people. Yeah.
So you've got these three little bits of kit on the desk.
Yeah.
Can you just explain what those are?
So Panda is a universal car interface. Cars have ports that look like this, computers have ports that look like this, and this also has Wi-Fi. So
right.
It's like a bridge. Connects right. The two. This is a giraffe. You can plug your Panda into it right like this. And then this taps into even deeper parts of your car, gets you more control. This will get you access to, like, the radar on a Toyota. We have a Honda variant of this as well. This is a Neon. We sell it as a dash cam. It's universal computer, basically. Like, you need more compute in cars. Cars don't have very powerful computers in them, except for Tesla.
Right.
They have, like, crappy old chips that you might have found in cell phones 5 years ago. Well, this has a chip that you might have found in a cell phone 1 year ago, so it's 4 years newer.
And so Panda allows basically you to access the kind of the computer in the car.
Well, it's a bridge, right? So, yeah, with Panda, you can talk to all the different ECUs in the car. You can talk to, like, the power steering ECU, the brake ECU, the engine computer.
And then...
Because you want to tell the car to turn, you got to tell the steering ECU to turn.
And then you have this software program, OpenPilot. That's what actually is kind of, quote-unquote, self-driving.
Yeah, so OpenPilot is an open source driving agent. It makes the decisions required to drive a car, right? How much do you want to turn the steering wheel? It's like a person. It takes in sensors and decides what to do.
And so that allows OpenPilot to access the car?
So if you're going to, I mean, you know, it's no good for OpenPilot to put on the screen, turn left. You actually want it to turn the steering wheel left.
So all of that plus the software, and that's, you're selling all of that. I can buy all of that or some of that or none of that.
Well, we don't sell software, and we don't sell anything that with the purpose of making your car self-driving. We sell just universal bits and pieces, universal car interface, universal compute and dash cam.
And so just like stepping back, we're almost end of 2017, 2018. From where you sit, what is these kind of quote-unquote self-driving environment look like? Kind of who's winning? And
it looks the same as it looked 2 years ago. Tesla Autopilot is literally about as good as it was 2 years ago. We've grown a little bit, but not that much. Waymo has moved out of California because of their ridiculous regulations, and they moved the driver 4 feet.
So say, let's fast forward 5 years. You guys are clearly trying to kind of fast forward this, though.
No, we're trying to win.
Yeah.
Who cares about it? Let's win next week, right? Let's make it work better than it worked this week, next week.
Right.
As long as you keep doing that, you win.
And effectively, you're trying to become the operating system for that can be applied to any kind of modern-ish car.
Yeah. It's like take all the phones and unflash the crappy operating systems that they came with and flash Android.
What needs to happen for you to get there is that if we go back to, say, the engagements, how many times, you know, it's one every 10 miles now. Where do you need to get to? where that's actually, in terms of safety.
You know, it's a driving assistance system, right? Everything today is a driving assistance system. Everything today is not meant to operate without a human carefully watching it. Or you could say, oh, Waymo's doing it without a human. Yeah, they got humans very carefully watching it back at Waymo headquarters, right? Nothing today is a better driver than a human.
No. And so, how is that measured, or what is the threshold?
Well, disengagements is pretty good. So humans crash about once every 100,000 miles. Waymo is probably the leader right now. They probably have about 10,000 miles between disengagements. Then you'll see...
So they're effectively 10% of the way there to human equivalents.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can really like think about it like you're building a tower. You look at the Human Genome Project, and it took 90% of the time to sequence the first 2%, and then all the rest of it was done in the last 10. Just because technology gets better, gene sequencing machines get better, machine learning gets better. That's generally how these things work. We are building infrastructure mostly. And then once we have all the infrastructure built, it just gets better by itself. We don't like look at a disengagement and be like, oh, it crossed the lane line there. Let's put a rule in to not cross lane lines. No, it's okay, let's get our machine learning to work with more data, bigger models, better quality cameras, more synced up sensors, all that stuff.
So do you think cars will need LiDAR in the future?
Do you have a LiDAR?
I do not.
Can you drive?
Yes.
All right. So why do cars need a LiDAR?
Well, I'm a human.
You can drive a car without a LiDAR, right? Whatever yes. you're doing, just replicate that in a machine.
So why is everybody using LiDAR then, these laser-based systems?
Because Google used a LiDAR 10 years ago, and you never go wrong copying Google, right? It's like you never go wrong buying IBM. It's dumb. Anyone who thinks about the problem for a little bit understands that. Elon understands it. The solution is cameras, because how do humans drive cars with cameras, right?
Cameras, i.e. their eyes.
The people with one eye could drive a car. Your baseline is about 7 inches. It's the distance between your eyes. So it doesn't really help that much.
But having two eyes, you mean?
Having two eyes, yeah. Human stereo is somewhat of a myth. I mean, sure, human stereo will help you a lot with like picking something up off a desk. Like try to cover an eye and pick something up off a desk. But I'm not using my stereo vision to tell how far away that wall is. Right? And cover my eye, I know how far away the wall is. It's a little bit hard to like manipulate things that are close. But yeah, the human two eyes is maybe more for redundancy than stereo.
Right, right.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
And you raised a few million bucks from Andreessen. When was that, 2 years ago? Or you need to raise more to kind of get to the promised land?
We're almost profitable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just from selling the stuff online?
Yeah.
So that'll be enough to keep you afloat?
No, I mean, I don't know. No plans right now. We're not really raising money. I'd rather build a profitable company. I know that's not in vogue in Silicon Valley these days, but...
Building a profitable company?
I'm old school. I'm from New Jersey. You build companies and make money. You want to show that you want to show that your company's good? Like, have it make money. If it doesn't make money, well, maybe it shouldn't be a company.
Well, if you look at companies like... Cruise, for example.
A lot of money. Just bye-bye. Woo.
GM paid $1 billion for him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were making money, though, but I mean, you know.
That was dumb. I mean, what? Do you think GM is the paragon of good decision-making?
No, clearly not.
Yeah, right?
If you want to become the OS...
Now, I'm not saying you can, always be profitable. Look, like, Tesla's not profitable right now, but Tesla's a very clear path to profitability, right? Hopefully they're making money on every one of those Model 3s. If they're not, someone should get yelled at. But no, I mean, like, look, that's a path to profitability.
But what's your path to profitability?
Sell hardware. Once it's really good, self-driving is going to be a subscription.
Explain that.
You want your car to drive itself? $24 a month. You want the red light DLC? Well, that's an extra $5.
So how would we get all this? Because this stuff right now, this hardware that you're making, is for people who kind of know what they're doing. This isn't like...
That's why we're not charging a monthly fee.
Right.
Yeah. Once it's easy, you got to pay the... It's easy monthly fee. Everyone who was a bit computer literate 10 years ago had Netflix. It was called Kazaa and XBMC, and it was all great. It was only for people who knew what they were doing, and it was free. Now it's for everybody, and there's a monthly fee.
And do you have any sense of how long that will be before we get there?
I don't know. I think about a week in advance. Just make it better this week. I mean, as long as you make it better next week and make it better the week after that, you win.
And how do you get around kind of the safety issues? Because you came out with Comma 1 last year and NTSB.
These systems probably make driving safer. They at least don't make it less safe, as long as a human's watching. So we have a 6-minute timeout. Every 6 minutes, you have to interact or it'll stop self-driving. Just to remind you that it's a level 2 system. These systems statistically look like they make driving safer. We don't really have enough data yet to make a truly assertive judgment about this. We've never seen a crash.
What was NTSB's issue then?
Didn't have an issue. They asked some questions about a product that wasn't launched yet. Also, this is not NTSB, it's NHTSA. This NHTSA regime is much, much better than the previous one. The previous NHTSA regime came out with this 122-page, very onerous, very micromanaging guide to self-driving cars that made it seem like they didn't like the technology. And like, I met the head of NHTSA, and he just didn't seem like he didn't like Silicon Valley values. And I'm like, yeah, all right. The new one is so much better. Oh, they came out with a 26-page, very encouraging, because self-driving cars are going to make driving so much safer. Just having AEB in a car, autonomous emergency braking, reduces rear endings by 40%. Just having forward collision warning, which you could do in a phone app, could reduce it by like 20%.
Why are you doing this, of all the things?
Something to do.
It's not because it's public safety, for example, or...
God, definitely not. It's a puzzle. Yeah, I guess I vaguely want my car to be safer and cars to be safer of people I care about, but it's a puzzle.
Is there an issue around being able to explain how this works?
Look, people talk about this. And again, it's people who talk. Okay, well, this thing. Do you want the thing that drives twice as safe, but you can't explain how it works? Or the thing that drives only 10% safer, but you can explain how it works? Ridiculous. Can humans explain how they work? Not at all.
But isn't that an issue, though, now, within terms of adoption? No. And you talk about safety and authorities, et cetera. They want to know.
No. They understand that it's statistics.
They understand it's statistics, but they also want to... Because all you have to have is one bad news story or, autonomous car X.
Who cares?
Involved in some terrible accident.
There'll always be Luddites in the world. They lose. They always lose.
Okay.
The statistically safer solution will win. It's just a question of time.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, they don't understand how it works. Welcome to the future, man. You know what's worse?
What's that?
Than not understanding how it works?
What?
Believing you understand how it works, but not really.
So you don't think this is going to be an issue with mass adoption of this?
Was it an issue with mass adoption of airbags? Do you know how many people airbags kill a year?
I don't.
A lot. You know how many people they save? A lot more. Right? And that's the trade-off.
But that's not actually taking your hands off the wheel and letting a machine drive you around.
Well, you roll it out gradually. We're not taking the steering wheel out of the car. That's stupid.
Yeah.
You don't like what the machine's doing, reach out and grab the wheel.
And so is the future then, do you think it'll be like, I have whatever, my Honda. I can just take it to a local shop and they can install a bit of easy-to-install hardware and software and...
I think we'll sell it through dealerships. I think dealerships will see the light long before the car manufacturers.
But they would have to do it presumably in partnership with the car manufacturers, no?
No, not at all. Dealerships are independently owned. That's how OnStar did it for a long time.
In terms of the liability, that's going to be an interesting question, though. Because of Google...
It's the most straightforward thing. It's really the most straightforward thing. So as long as you're shipping a level 2 system, the driver has to pay attention and is liable at all times. To get to level 3 is really easy, actually. You just gather all the data on the level 2 system, and once you can show that your system is statistically safer than a human driver, well, insurance is a really straightforward thing. So things that require regulatory And oversight are things like, well, like pollution, right? So companies, it's cheaper for them to pollute, but it's a cost, it's an externality to everybody in society, and you know, we have to figure out how to make sure they don't do that. But self-driving cars, the incentives have never been more aligned. Car companies don't want cars to crash, governments don't want cars to crash, and people don't want cars to crash. Wow, everyone's aligned.
What happens next for you guys? What's kind of next coming down the pike?
Lower disengagements, and you make it work better next week than it worked this week.
How many people are using your system, say, OpenPilot?
Hundreds. We have hundreds of OpenPilot users and thousands of Schiffer users.
Is that enough to get the system to where you want it to be quickly?
We're not limited by data.
How's that?
If I had 10 times more data right now, I wouldn't really know how to use it. We have just the right amount. I mean, there's knobs we could turn to make the growth go up. But growth has been good. Steady growth.
When you're talking about the improved capabilities of the system.
Oh, no, I could turn some knobs to... No, if I could improve the capabilities, I would do that tomorrow. If I could get more people using the system, well, I could do that tomorrow, but right. It won't necessarily improve the capabilities, right? At the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about building the best system. I'm optimizing for the best system. We're a technology company. We build technology.
Yeah.
And our goal is to build the best technology we can.
This is based on machine learning. And doesn't machine learning need data to get smarter?
Yeah, I have 3 million miles of driving data.
3 million miles?
It's 2.2 million from our crowdsourced stuff.
Wow.
That's a lot of data. You've seen a lot of... most humans have not driven 2.2 million miles.
Unless you drive a big truck or something.
Yeah. So we've seen maybe 10 lifetimes?
Right.
Of driving? That's a lot of driving. It's also very diverse, which is good. If you have companies who are testing driving in like one small area, they never experience like adverse weather, they never experience different driving styles, we have data from all over the world.
When I was last here, you were talking about how the bounties you have out on different types of cars.
Yeah.
How many different cars or models, makes models, do you have that are running this stuff now?
So we support officially Hondas and Toyotas. We have a decent variety. We're just about to launch our Prius probably this week. Prius, RAV4, Civic, ILX, CRV. Our goal is to support officially 6 of the top 10 cars sold in America. So that's like with the Comma AI version. And then there's third-party ports, which, you know, we're working on upstreaming them, and when we do, we'll pay out the bounties. People have it working on their Chevy Volt and their Tesla Model S.
Of the top 10, how many do you have now?
We have 4. We have the... Well, some of them are just a tiny bit of effort to change. I guess technically we only have 3. But the Corolla is a very small change from what we have. Corolla and Camry are easy to add. And then Accord is a little bit more effort. We should have Camry and Corolla by the end of the year.
And how many people work here now?
12. You know where we were in self-driving cars 2 years ago? Pretty much exactly where we are now.
And where do you think we'll be in 2 years from now?
I think it'll be better as long as we continue most weeks to make our thing better than it was the week before. It'll be better in 2 years. That's all I can say, right? And that's the thing. That doesn't make for good journalism, but that's the truth. And that's the truth about where all these companies are.
In the UK, there's this big government announcement this week, in fact, how they're, quote-unquote, bringing self-driving cars to UK roads.
Wow. UK roads, they're so different from other roads. Oh, wait. No, they're not. They're the same.
And I think it's by 2021 or something. And it has to do with, you know, getting rid of rules that would make this harder to do.
Yeah, but like none of that stuff matters. The reason you don't have self-driving cars yesterday has nothing to do with regulations. It has nothing to do with consumer adoption. And it has everything to do with the technology not being good enough. The only thing self-driving car needs is engineers to solve these problems. It doesn't need governments, except really to stay out of the way. Governments, stay out of the way. And, you know, one of the leading causes of death of your constituents will go away. Couldn't ask for more. It's right. Just an engineering question, though, and it's a hard engineering problem. Engineering, machine learning research.
Is this the hardest problem you've taken on?
I've taken on other problems that were like hard, and like I didn't solve them. So, I mean, it's certainly harder than everything I've ever solved. How about that?
Right. Well, because if you say Waymo, who was by far the leader in terms of capabilities of its system, that is still 1/10 of what a normal human can do.
Yeah.
So we still have a long way to go.
Of course. I mean, I don't know. It might happen really fast, right? Like, if the year is 2015 and you're talking about computers playing Go, the best computer is like 1/10 of the best Go player. And then like next year, it's better. And the year after that, it's like 10 times better. I mean, maybe it'll happen like that, right? So you never know how long it's going to take. It might be literally 2017. Wow, best self-driving car, 10x worse than a human. 2018, they're about as good as a human. 2019, oh my God, we still let humans drive? Could be that.
And this idea that what you're doing, the technology is effectively based on what humans do. It's learning from human drivers.
Yeah.
Is that not flawed if we're trying to get better than if we're trying to get better than humans?
Why do humans crash cars?
Because they don't pay attention, they make bad decisions.
Big one. They're not paying attention. They're drunk. They're asleep. Yeah, these aren't like problems that computers have.
Computers don't get drunk.
Nope. They don't get distracted. They don't fall asleep. That's 90% of car crashes right there.
So in theory, with this, through these millions of miles, you can excise those instances.
You don't even have to. They're just rare. They won't happen. The computer won't do that.
It won't learn to drive like a drunk person.
Imagine you had a committee of people, 100 people, all voting 100 times a second on how to drive the car. They drive pretty well, right? Yeah. Some of them might be distracted at any given time, but they won't all be. Some of them might even get drunk, but, you know, scatter them around the world and it's all right.
That's the basic principle.
Committee driver, yeah.
Do you still drive around in your Acura?
No, we don't really use that one much anymore. I got a Prius now. Prius is pretty nice. I don't drive that much. I sit here and I watch the cars drive from the computers.
And that is it. I'm back in my Honda. Back in the HQ, heading back to the other HQ. Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? I hope you found it interesting. Hotz's view around, you know, just get out of the way and let us do our job. That is a very prevalent kind of undercurrent here in Silicon Valley. And I think is quite illuminating as to kind of all the cultural issues that have bubbled up this year. Because he's obviously not alone. And I'm not saying he has anything to do with any of that, but it's just this idea of the algorithm is the ultimate is an interesting one. And just a couple housekeeping notes. We have two more shows after this, then that will be the end of season one, believe it or not. Got a show the next week, and then we're going to round out with a finale with a special, something very cool in store. I will leave it at that for the moment. Then we're going to take the rest of December off and come back sometime in mid-late January, and I'm going to take that time to do a bit of planning and line up a bunch of great new guests and lots of other cool stuff coming for season two. In the meantime, of course, you can find me on Twitter at Danny Fortson, on thetimes.co.uk, in the newspaper, in the Sunday Times. And do take just a minute or two and stop through Apple Podcasts. Give a rating and review. It really does help. And with that, I will leave you to your week. I hope it's a good one. Bye-bye.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.